privilege again to come and sit and learn of his Torah and to edify him and give him the glory and honor to sing those praises. I was thinking about those songs. You know, Spirit lead me. Lead me and guide me. Abba belong to you. That's just more than songs. It's just more than words. Look, if we mean that, if we're going to mean that, let his Spirit lead and guide us, we don't get to pick and choose his directions.
Come on.
His instructions. You know, we say that lead me and guide me. He says go this way. We want to somehow debate on going that way. He says, the song, it says, hey, even if you, when you don't trust me, even if I don't understand it, I still have to trust you. That's all he wants. Listen, we're not going to understand his direction sometimes. But his ways and his thoughts are way more than our ways or thoughts. He knows what's best for our life. We don't know what's best for our life. When you tried, when I tried it, is when I made my life a totally mess, a disaster. When I thought I knew what was best for my life. So I was just thinking about that song we were singing. Listen, do I really mean those words? Spirit lead me and guide me. Because listen, the song says, he took you further than what you was asking.
Yes.
I don't know if that ever happened to you, but it happened to me. Way further than what I was asking. Way further. I had no idea. None. But I tell you, when you yield to it, his ways are so much better. So much better when you yield to his Spirit. And when he says go this way, you go that way. When he says don't go that way, you don't go that way. When he says don't say that, you don't say that. When he says be quiet, you be quiet. When he says to jump, you jump. All in. You don't hold nothing back. Listen, he didn't hold nothing back from us. When he sent his son Yeshua to go all in, Yeshua went all in. All in. For my sins. We're going to get to this Torah. This Torah is incredible. Oh, I'm not connected. I didn't understand that sign. You get excited, you forget about connecting. Come on. But this Torah portion is just very incredible. I'm just going to pick up. It's about being set apart. This Torah tells you how to be set apart. What it takes to be set apart. And how it's his desire for us to be set apart. Think about it. It's a desire. It's his desire for us to be set apart. And when it's someone's desire, you try to fulfill that desire. You know, it's all that someone really, really wants and loves. And you try to fulfill that because that's what they really, really want for you to do. You know, it's my wife's desire that I don't sleep on the couch. It's her desire for me to come to bed with her.
Yes.
So I have been working on that. Because I know it's her desire. You know when someone desires that is their heart's desire? You try to fulfill that because you want to make them happy.
Yes.
You want to please them. Well, listen. There's nothing that should be better than when Yehovah desires set apartness. That should be all you want to do. No matter how funny you look, no matter how high people think you are, it's his desire to be set apart. It's his desire to follow his laws, his right rules, his commands. And you all want to do that with everything that is in us to please him. Just like you want to please someone, that's the desire for you to do something, you want to do that. You want to do that 10 times more. You want to magnify that 10 times, 100 times more. Amen. It's good to know some time. This is some good stuff, this Torah portion. Yes. If you missed last night, you want to get it.
Yes.
You want to listen to it.
Yes.
So we go ahead and get started. on our Torah teachings, his understanding, his likes and his dislikes. And I'll read one portion on the third, the Kedoshim, and it's Hebrew for set apart ones. Set apart ones. Torah's Leviticus 19:1 through 20:27, half Torah is Amos 9:7 through 15, Ezekiel 22:1 through 19. And you know, Pastor mentioned last night, had anybody read that Ezekiel? If you didn't, go read it. Because it tells about those how they not keeping his set apart times. It talks about all that and how he dislikes that. He hates that. So it's Amos 9:7 through 15, Ezekiel 22:1 through 19. And the Porsha, the topics in this week of the Porsha of Kedoshim begins with the statement, "You shall be holy, for I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am holy."
Amen.
Why he's telling you to be holy? Because I'm holy. And if you made in my likeness, in my image, you're going to want to be holy. Because I'm holy. This is followed by dozens of mitzvot, divine commandments, to which Yisrael sanctifies him or herself and relates to the holiness of Yehovah. This includes the prohibition against idolatry, the mitzvah of charity, and the principle of equality before the law. Shabbat sexual morality, honesty in business, honor in awe of one's parents, and the sacredness of life. Also in Kedoshim is the dictum which the great sage Rabbi Akiva called a cardinal principle of Torah, and of which Hillel said, "This is the entire Torah. The rest is commentary. Love your fellow as yourself." Love your fellow as yourself. So we'll go down to where we stopped last night. And we get to redo chapter 19 all over again. Well, the first couple verses anyway. I think you pass away 1 through 8 or whatever. And talk on the whole chapter. So we get to visit. I just love when he does that. It's just like you get a double portion. You really are. Every Shabbat you get a double portion. Because he will do the first chapter. Even if it's one verse that he reads, he touches on everything.
Amen.
And then I come right behind and I get to start all over again. Listen, Yehovah loves y'all, I promise. He loves y'all. Because why? He wants us to get this. This is so important. So important that we get this. Why? Because it's telling us how to be set apart. It's telling us what it takes for us to be set apart. And this is his desire for us to be set apart. So chapter 19, before beginning our journey through these verses, well, we must take note of the following, the use of the three phrases. I am Yehovah. I, Yehovah, your Elohim, and I am Yehovah, your Elohim. These three phrases are collectively seen 16 times in this chapter alone. 16 times in one chapter. I think he wants us to know that I am your Elohim.
Amen.
I am Yehovah, your Elohim. What this emphasizes very clearly to us is the fact that in obeying Yehovah, we come to know him as the I am, the one who causes us to be.
Amen.
I am the one who causes us to be. Listen, we walk around here, men, because that's our famous saying, that I'm my own man. Nobody can tell me what to do. We use that often. But we gotta realize the one who causes us to be. We're not our own man. We might think it, we might try to be it, but we're far from it. We don't put breath in our lungs. We don't do that. We don't wake ourselves up. He wakes us up. He gives us the breath. He gives us the things that we have. He gives us the jobs we have. He gives us the vehicles, the homes, all that belongs to him. We are nothing. Nothing. And we find, that's what we get ourselves in trouble when we think we're something. But we got to realize that he's the one who causes me to be. Nobody else. Him. I can't do it. The I am is the one who causes us to be. Verse 19, Leviticus 19:1. And Yehovah spoke to Moshe, saying, this is incredible. Verse 1, in the opening verse, of the chapter, we again see, as always, that Yehovah spoke to Moshe and commanded him to speak to Yisrael. This is still the way that Yehovah speaks to us today, as we recognize that it is still through Moshe, which is metaphorically represented to us as being the Torah. For it is through the Torah that we receive his clear instructions for set-apart living. It is through the Torah that we receive clear instructions on how to have set-apart living. And listen, we can actually see now that it is clear instruction. It's not hard to understand. The kids understand this stuff. And sometimes I think the kids understand it better than what the adults do. Because I think they receive it better. Because they're not going to debate. We're going to debate. We're going to want to know all the how, why, what, where, who. All those things. Them, they just accept it for what it is. We can learn a lot from the little ones. A lot. It's clear instructions for set-apart living. Verse 19, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, be set apart. For I, Yehovah, your Elohim, am set apart. Verse 2, speak to all the congregation. On most occasions, Yehovah spoke to Moshe, and then Moshe spoke to Aaron and the leaders. But here we see clearly the command for Moshe to speak to the whole congregation. And the reason for this is that this message was of vital importance. So much so that all needed to hear it firsthand. All needed to hear it firsthand. Why? Because he didn't want no excuses. None. You know, you ever get secondhand information? It's never like the first person, but the person that said it actually said it.
That's right.
You know, remember we did this, we used to play this little game. Like, if I say something to Sister Marlena, and then she tells Brother Herman to go around and around. By the time we get to Nikki, it was nothing I never said. Maybe this much of it. And I said this much. But somehow it became this much. Because this one added, that one added, that one took away, that one added. And he didn't want that. Yehovah did not want that. He told Moshe, you speak to all the congregation. Don't tell Aaron, don't tell none of them, his son, priest, whatever, whoever else. I want it to come from you, because if you get it from me, and they're going to get it from you, so I know they're not going to get secondhand information. I know it's not going to be added or taken away. And it was in vital importance. We do that. We want to add and take away when somebody says something. So much so that all needed to hear it firsthand, so that there could be none with any excuse that they did not hear. It's kind of like when we make announcements. we make it a week later just to, as a refresher, and they're like, well, I never heard that. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that. Well, no. Because sometimes you have to pay attention.
Yeah, really.
Pay attention. We lack that. Our mind goes wherever it goes.
Yes.
We don't pay attention. And right here he's telling Moshe, you make sure that the congregation is paying attention. Right. Listen, when we come to Shabbat, pay attention. Why? Because it's vital importance. We can't afford to miss anything during the course of our services.
That's right.
Can't afford it. Why? Because we're on a set of partners. And I want to know exactly what it takes in order for me and us to be set apart. Mm. We can't afford it. It's vitally important for us to not only hear it when we come here, but make sure we get here. Make sure you come. That's the most important thing. You have to be here in order to listen. Because sometimes that don't work too good. You can't get the volume right. We've been trying since we started recording. We still can't get the volume right. So you want to be here.
Yes.
Why? Because you're getting first-hand information. You hear it clear. Mm. You hear it loud. And that's what he's trying to tell us. So his Torah is so important. So important for us to hear. And listen, and when we sing, Spirit lead me, don't think you just came here by coincidence. you just decided, well, I'm going to go to church this Saturday or Friday night. No, the Spirit led you. It leads you here. You don't come on your own. No, Spirit leads you. That's why it's so important that we yield to it. Amen. Each and every single day you yield to that set apart Spirit. Because remember, without the set apart Spirit, you're not going to even remotely keep it. You're not even going to remotely keep Shabbat. You're not even remotely going to keep the Torah. We need it. We need it to lead us and guide us every single day. It's important, vital important that we yield to it. Even when it doesn't make sense, we yield to it. What is also clear is that the importance of these words emphasizes that the set apart call is not simply for a select few, but rather it is for all the congregation of Yisrael.
Yisrael.
All. The set apart, this set apartness is not just for us sitting here.
Yisrael.
It's for the whole world.
Yes.
So each and every person. The whole world is what he wants to be set apart. But we choose. He gives us a choice. You know, I asked Pastor this morning, because he made a statement about, you know, the two trees. And I was just thinking about that tonight. Why? He created the tree of just good. Why did he create the tree of good and evil? Why did he do that? You know, he's Yehovah, he's God. He wants humanity to love him. Why would he put that there to have, like, to, for them to be tempted? For them to want that? Because he wants you to want to love him. He wants you to want to love him. If he never created that tree, how would you know if you love him? You was already created to love him. It's like he would have just like had control over your life from day one. You know, like that's all you know is just him. But he wants to see how much you love him. I'm putting two trees in this garden. One of good and one of good and evil. Which one are you going to choose? Are you going to want to love me? Because that's what I want. I want you to want to love me. I'm going to give you that choice. Prove to me. Prove to me that you're going to love me. But listen, men's desire, humans, not just men, women too. Human desire is always want to know something else. You know, tree of good and evil? What is that evil? It's no difference from when, you know, you out in the world, you do what you want to do. You choose to test those waters. And he's telling you, don't test those waters. Look, stay right here. Love me.
Yes.
Don't want to do that. That's totally going against what I'm saying. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you over here. I want you right here. So I was just thinking about that. I was like, why? You know why? Because he wants you. He wants you to make that choice. He wants you to make that decision. He wants you to choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. You got to make the choice. We have to make the choice. This is an urgent call for a call out and chosen people to gird up their loins and listen carefully on how to be set apart and not be found to be looking like a foreign nation. Listen carefully on how to be set apart. This Torah portion, listen carefully to this Torah portion that is telling us how to be set apart. The whole Torah tells us how to be set apart. Really. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, tells us all his likes and his dislikes. Because he don't want us to look like foreign nation. And we're going to get to the Sabbath, and the Sabbath in here is long. Very long, the slide of the Sabbath, but it's incredible. Why? Because that's a set-apart day. Mm-hmm. His Sabbath. And if you're doing it on any other day, you're looking like a foreign nation.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking like the foreign nation. Now, the foreign nation think you're a foreign nation. But Yehovah don't call you a foreign nation. He calls you my people.
Amen.
My set of our people.
That's right, amen.
But the foreign nation thinks you're foreign. See how slick the enemy is? The enemy is slick. He is very, very slick. But he calls a peculiar people. Set apart. He don't call us foreign. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Therefore, having girt up the loins of your mind, being sober, set your expectations perfectly upon the favor that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Yeshua Messiah. Mm-hmm. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust in your ignorance. Instead, as the one who called you is set apart, so you also should become set apart. In all behavior, because it has been written, be set apart, for I am set apart. Where was it written at? Is my question. We in Peter, but what is Peter making reference to? Huh? To his Torah. Says, it has been written, be set apart, for I am set apart. The word Kedoshim speaks of this being totally set apart. Set apart from the world, that is, and being separated from all that is not of Israel. This, of course, results in a very harsh response from the rest of the nations. Very harsh response, because the first thing they're going to say, you think you better than me. That's the first thing I want to tell you. It's not about me being better than you. No, I'm not better than you. I'm just trying to do what he tells me to do. It's simple. I'm just trying to follow his way of living. He called me set apart. But yet, the nations think they come with a harsh response. And you all heard it. You all felt it. Family, friends, maybe even some co-workers. Might even cost you your job.
Come on.
That's harsh. This, of course, results in a very harsh response from the rest of the nation, as what truly makes Israel set apart and separated nation of priests unto Elohim is his Torah. And his Torah made flesh through the life, death, and resurrection, giving us our true identity as a people belonging to Elohim, as long as we stay in him and walk as he walked. Who's the he that he's talking about? Walk even as Messiah walked. And Messiah walked just as the Father walked. No difference. He walked just as he walked. He talked just as he talked. And he said it, his word said it. This come out of his own mouth. That my words are not even mine, it's from the Father. He was being led by the Spirit. When the Spirit said go right, he went right. When it said stay, it's not time for you to move, he stayed. When the Spirit says, okay, now it's time for you to go because you have an appointed time to go meet this woman by the well, he went. He wasn't afraid. His disciples tried to tell him, they're going to kill you while you're gone. That didn't bother him. He knew he had an appointed time. He had to go meet it. He knew they couldn't touch him. He knew it. That's being led by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's being led by the Spirit. Not worrying about what someone else says or what someone else thinks. You don't care what someone else says or thinks. You care about what he says or thinks about you. Listen, and their harsh response is nowhere near the response of when you're being disobedient to him. There's consequences when you're disobedient. There's consequences. Another way we could actually describe being set apart unto Elohim is that we are defined by the Torah. We are defined by the Torah. Let the Torah define you. For in it we find our identity as Talmidim, disciples or Talmud of Yeshua Messiah, the living embodiment of the Torah. What is made clear from this verse is the fact that Yehovah makes clear that he is set apart and he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be like him as he paid the price for our sin in order that we can be redeemed and shaped into his likeness and image. And to know him is to be like him. And the Torah teaches us how we can know him and be like him. The Torah teaches us how we can and know how to be just like him. Because he paid the ultimate price. He paid for my ransom. Yehovah paid it. Yeshua was the willing offering, but he set that willing offering. He paid the price. He sent his only son. In being a set-apart nation, a royal priesthood, and a chosen people for a possession, we must clearly be able to distinguish the difference between clean and unclean, and between the profane and the set-apart, which if we do not listen to and guard to do the Torah, we will not be able to do so. We will not be able to do so if you're not guarding and keeping the Torah. Because listen, let's not forget, one point in time, up to about 6-7 years ago, we could not distinguish the difference. Mm-hmm. We was all up in the mixture. Yes. We could not distinguish the difference between the profane, the clean, and the unclean. We was eating anything we want. Had no idea that his Torah told us not to do those things. Why? Because we wasn't in it like we should have been. We didn't yield to it. We wasn't praying, give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to want to know you more. We wasn't saying those things to him. We had no idea what we were doing. We was in there, all up in there, and thought we were doing something good. All in his name. And all the while, he didn't even like it. But he graced us because of our ignorance. Thank him for that. But now what do we do? Now that we have been in this Torah. He says it's best that you don't even know it if you go back and do something where you come from. It's best that you hadn't even learned this stuff. The Hebrew word that's translated as speak comes from the root word davar, Strong's H1696, which means to speak, command, counsel, declare, proclaim, converse, warn, threaten, and promise. And this is also the Hebrew word that is used for word. In a nutshell, we see here the word for Israel is this: be set apart. The word for Yisrael in a nutshell, and the word for us today, is still the same. Be set apart. Be set apart. And it is obedience to the word that sets us apart. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-7. Listen to Paul writing. 4:1-7. For the rest then, brothers, we beg you and call upon you in the Master Yeshua that you receive from us how you should walk, and to please Elohim, you should excel still more. Notice what Paul is saying, though, that you receive from us. Listen, make sure the person that you receive it from is doing what he said needs to be done or should be doing. Listen, if I'm going to get up here and tell you what you need to be doing and how you should be doing, I have best to be doing it. Mm-hmm. I can't come up here and say, hey, you need to be keeping Shabbat, and I don't show up on Shabbat. You don't eat this, and I'm eating anything I want. That's what Paul said. Make sure you receive from us how you should walk.
That's right.
He can say it because he was living the Torah life. Mm-hmm. Be careful who we listening to, who we getting advice from, or who we getting the word from. Mm. Don't just listen to anybody. Mm-hmm. Search. study. Do your part.
Yes.
Don't just listen. If I'm not doing it, if I'm not walking, and then just talking, you don't follow me. For you know what commands we gave you through the Master Yeshua. For this is the desire of Elohim. Here we go again. This is his desire. Your set apartness. That you should abstain from whoring. That each one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in set apartness. You need to know how to possess your own vessel. It's not the husband's or the wife's responsibility, it's your own.
Right.
It's not the pastor's, it's your own. In respect, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know Elohim, not to overstep and take advantage of his brother in this matter, because the Master is the revenger of all such. As we indeed said to you before, you earnestly warn, for Elohim did not call us to uncleanness, but in set apartness. Because the Master is the revenger. Set apartness in the Greek, as mentioned, is hagismos, Strong's G38, which means consecration, sanctifying. In English, the words consecrate means to make or declare to be set apart and be devoted to a purpose with the deepest, irrevocable dedication. To be devoted to a purpose with the deepest, irrevocable dedication. That's what he wants. He wants us to be so set apart that we are solely devoted to him. Solely devoted to him. Listen, and to where the deepest, irrevocable dedication, you can't change your mind. No matter what people say, you won't change your mind. No matter what they throw at you, what statements they might make, you are irrevocable. You are dedicated. We as the chosen, set apart, and royal priesthood unto Elohim declare and make our lives to be solely devoted to the purpose of serving and worshiping Yehovah Elohim. And as we have certainly learned through the Torah, portions of drawing near to Elohim, that we can only do so by the blood of Messiah. And we are continually being set apart in him through an ongoing process of being sanctified as a people for our possession. How many know this is an ongoing process? Every day. We never arrived. Our zizis don't make us arrive. Our light and manure don't make us arrive. This is a process. How long? Forever. Till he returns. Till he returns. It's an ongoing process. What does that mean? You keep working at it. You get better and better and better. The more you do it, the easier. The more you do it, the easier it becomes. The more you yield to the set apart spirit, the easier it becomes. The more you yield to that. The Hebrew term as equivalent to this Greek word, hagismos, Strong's G38, is kadosh. Strong's 86918, which means consecrated and set apart, for which we have been called. We have been called to be set apart. It's a command that we be set apart. Not a suggestion. He don't suggest you do it. He commands us to. Exodus 19, verse 6. And you shall be to me a reign of priests and a set apart nation. These are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel. Being set apart has to do with separation. And that is exactly what we have been called to do. Be separated from that which is of the world while still living in the world. Be separate from the world while still living in the world. Can I tell you? Without seven-point spirit, you can't do it.
That's right.
You're not going to live in this world and be separate from the world without seven-point spirit. Impossible. Why? Because the lust of the flesh, it craves that stuff.
That's right.
It craves it. The world paints a beautiful picture. Beautiful. Set-apart spirit lets you know that it ain't so beautiful. Mm. You see how nasty and disgusting it really is when you have the set-apart spirit doing what it needs to do in your life. Mm-hmm. That's why every day we need to ask for it. Every single day we need to ask for that leadership and guidance of that set-apart spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every single day. Come by. Every single day you wake up, you're still in this world.
True.
You're still in it. It ain't like you're just in your house. You go places. You do things. You're surrounded by it. It's only the set-apart spirit that will help us in those areas of our lives. Only the set-apart spirit. While still living in the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says Jehovah, and do not touch what is unclean, and I shall receive you.
Amen.
Listen, and sometimes separation is from family. And that's, it's tough. Because sometimes family don't agree with what you agree with. They don't see it like the way you see it. Not that he's not trying to let them know, it's that they just don't want to. They don't want to see it. But that's hard, because separation comes against family. The ones you love dearly, it'll come to that. But there we go again. Those trees in the garden, good and evil, they're just good. Family or Yehovah? We got to weigh that out. Family or Yehovah? Are we going to care what they say or are we going to care what he says?
Amen.
What's going to matter the most to us? You choose who you love the most. He's not telling us don't love your family. Of course you're going to love them, but don't love your family more than what you love me.
Amen.
Don't love your family more than what you love me.
That's right.
Don't love your wife more than what you love me. Don't love your kids more than what you love me.
Amen.
Listen, you love him, and you can't show your wife or your kids how much love that he'll pour into you for them.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be able to show them how much if you choose him first over everything. Think about it. But separation comes from family. You have to separate from them. You can't do the things that they do if they're not doing the Torah. He said, honor your mother and father, but make sure mother and father is honoring my Torah and honoring me.
Mm.
To be set apart, we must not be found to be whoring after the nations that Israel did and were vomited out by the land. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Each one of you should fear his mother and his father and guard my Sabbaths. I am Yehovah, your Elohim.
Hmm.
Fear mother and father. Give them the honor, the most respect that mother and father need. But on top of that, make sure you're guarding my Sabbaths. But make sure mother and father are doing what they're supposed to do. Verse 3, fear your mother and father, guard my Sabbaths. You know, kids need to see consistency in mother and father. They can't see mother and father doing Sabbaths 1 month, 2 months, and then miss one or two. They got to see consistency. Now, it's different if you know, you're not feeling so well, or, you know, I would even kind of walk lightly on that feeling so well. Because if not feeling so well, I want to come here and maybe get prayed for. It's healing on his Sabbaths. It's healing his appointed times. But if we want our kids to honor us and respect us, let's make sure we're showing them how much we need to honor and respect our Father and our Mother, which is the Torah.
Amen.
What is interesting here is that the first instruction after being told to be set apart is to fear one's mother and father, and in the same breath, the command to guard the Sabbath is given too. On a literal level, this is a clear command to revere the instructions of our parents who teach and instruct us in the Torah of Elohim. And we also know that we are commanded to respect our father and mother, and that is the first commandment with the promise. The first commandment with the promise, because it says your days will be prolonged. Exodus 20, verse 12. Respect your father and your mother so that your days are prolonged upon the soil which Jehovah, your Elohim, has given you. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents and the master, for this is right. Respect your father and your mother, which is the first command with promise, in order that it may be well with you, and you might live long on the earth. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all, for this is well pleasing to the master. What we see clearly from these verses, from the renewed writings, is that they continue to conform our need to be a set-apart people who are obeying the Torah of Elohim. And as we live out our lives here, we must first and foremost recognize that we are the people of Elohim, and we must be totally separated from all that is not of Him. Totally separated from all that is not of Him. What does that mean? We can't just pick and choose what best fits our life. Totally means everything. Listen, that ascending offering, Yeshua, was an ascending offering. The ascending offering, what happened, had been put on the altar for the ascending offering. Everything. Everything, totally. So we have to be totally separated from all that is not of Him. And here, this chapter gives the practical expression of how we live it out in our daily lives in relationships with others. This command to respect, fear our parents comes with the promise of life and is the beginning of learning how to live set apart as we learn to obey our parents' instruction and take heed to their teaching and discipline. This, of course, presupposes that the parents are in fact walking set apart lives, too, as parents are held accountable for bringing up their children in the ways of the Torah.
Amen. That's right.
Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are held accountable for bringing up their children in the ways of the Torah. You might say, well, I don't want that responsibility. Too bad. You got it. They didn't ask to come in this world either. You brought it. It's your responsibility to make sure they're up. Why? Because it says that it comes with the promise of life. Think about that. You want your kids to live healthy lives. You want that for them. You want them to have long life. You ever have to bury your kid? I mean, I don't think none of us in here ever had that, but people have that. That's hurtful. You almost think it's not even supposed to happen. Your kid's supposed to bury you. But you want them to have a promised life. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. And listen, the Torah, our Father, Yehovah is our Father, the Torah is our mother. That's what it refers to. It's what it makes reference to, how Torah is our mother and Yehovah is our father. You know, they want those same things for our life. They want our life to be prosperous. They want us to have long life. He don't want us to have You know, he doesn't want our life to be shortened. That's why he tells us what to do and how to do it. That's why he tells us what to eat and what not to eat. Tells us those things. He's not being mean to us. He's telling you, you do those things because I want you to live prosperous. I want you to have a long life. You shortening your life when you're not doing the things you're supposed to do. You shortening your life when you're not keeping the Torah like you're supposed to keep it. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And these words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. And you shall impress them upon your children, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. It's your responsibility to speak to them in your house. Make sure your kids are getting this Torah. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. Why you want to do this? This is so powerful. Yes. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he turns not away from it. Listen, you train up your child in the way he should go. When he becomes a 20, 21, 22 years old, and they decide to go their own way, they can't turn away from it. It's in them. They can't shake their head and get out of it. The Torah is in them. That's why he says you train them up in a way that he doesn't turn away from them. Listen, you just keep praying. You keep praying for them. They may not be here now, but they're coming back. They're coming back. Remember, this year. Don't forget it. This year. Miracles. We've been witnessing it already. You've been getting phone calls. You've been getting, you know, text messages. We've been getting good reports. We have been. We've been getting of people of wanting something I'm missing. I need you to pray for me because I want this. I'm missing this. I'm missing that. This year. It might not be here this morning, but you just hold on.
Amen.
You just hold on because they're coming.
Amen.
Why? Because the word says so. You train them up in that way they want to depart from it. Listen, the prodigal son, mentioned it last night, he was trained up in it. He went his way. To where he wound up in a pig pen. I made the statement that, you know, it was when I hit bottom. Guess what? Guess where bottom's at? In the pig pen. That's where bottom's at. Bottom's in the pig pen. But then you come to your senses. And then here comes the Father. He doesn't wait till you come all the way. He sees you in the distance. And he runs. He runs to you. Yehovah ran to me. He's seeing me in the distance.
Thank you, Father.
See me when I got up out of that pig pen, come to my senses.
Yes.
Come and put that robe back on me and a ring on my finger. Listen, made me feel important all over again. You don't feel important when you're in a pig pen. You don't feel important at all. It's miserable. It's a miserable place to be. But when you take that step, when you get up, and you just put that first foot forward. He comes running. He meets you. He meets you. So good to you. Let me tell you, if you've been in the pig pen, you might be in it now. You just get up and you put that one foot forward and just try. See what he does for you. I promise you won't regret it. You won't regret it. Be the best movie ever made in life. The best decision you ever made. He's just waiting for you. We are also warned not to forsake our parents' instructions. Proverbs 1:8. My son, heed the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Heed the discipline of your father, and do not forsake the Torah of your mother. Proverbs 6:20. My son, Watch over your father's command. Watch over it. And do not forsake the Torah of your mother. This is clear instructions. This is plain. When we understand these clear instructions and principles on a literal level, we further understand the clear picture that obeying our parents foreshadows for us as children of Elohim who are to obey Him. We have a Father in heaven whom we are to obey and heed His discipline. And often in Scripture, the Torah is likened to that element of being described as being a mother teaching her kids.
Hallelujah.
The Torah is being described as a mother of teaching her kids. So we need to obey His commands. And so, as we heed the Father very clearly, discipline, as we heed the Father's very clear discipline and cleave to the Torah, what Ruth did? She cleaved. She cleaved to her mother-in-law. Where you go, I go.
Yes.
Where you worship, I'm going to worship. Your Elohim going to be my Elohim. That's what He wants us. That's what He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear that. You are my Elohim. Cleave to me. I want this Torah. I want to be able to do my part in trying to do everything that is asking me to do. Clear instructions. If you say do it, do it. When you say jump, I don't want to tiptoe in this Torah. When you say jump, I want to dive in the Torah. Listen, in order for you to keep it right, you got to dive in the Torah. You heard us say this many times. You can't get knee deep in the Torah. You can't get waist deep in the Torah. You got to submerge yourself in the Torah. You got to get all in the Torah if you want to keep it right.
Amen.
If you want to be set apart, you got to get all in it.
Come on.
You can't just, what was that statement you told me last night? Keith Johnson? Tiptoeing around the what? The tulips. You can't tiptoe around the tulips. You can't tiptoe around this stuff. Listen, you tiptoeing around it, you leave the room for error.
Yeah.
But when you get all in the Torah, that's set apartments. All in is set apartments. We too will receive the promise of prolonged life here in earth. As we the meek shall inherit the earth. The first instruction we are to heed and not forsake is to guard the Sabbath of Yehovah. The first instruction. The first instruction that He gave is to guard His Sabbath. Exodus 31:14. And you shall guard the Sabbath, for it is set apart to you. Everyone who profanes it shall certainly be put to death. For anyone who does work on it, that being shall be cut off from among his people. Exodus 31:16. And the children of Israel shall guard the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation as an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
You're going to guard it for how long? Forever. Why? Because it's an everlasting covenant. It didn't change. He didn't change it. Man changed his Sabbath.
Come on.
Man.
That's right.
He didn't change it. He says it's an everlasting covenant. Even if man changed it, that don't disregard His word.
Nope.
That don't disregard it at all, because it's everlasting covenant. You can do whatever you want. You can try to change it, but that don't change His word at all. Deuteronomy 5:12. Guard the Sabbath day to set it apart as Yehovah your Elohim commanded you. It's a command to guard His Sabbath. The Sabbath definition. The Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary tells us that the word Sabbath is the Middle English word from the Anglo-French and Old English, which is from the Latin sabbaton, which is derived from the Greek sabbaton, coming originally from the Hebrew Shabbat, and its literal meaning means rest. The dictionary goes on to say the following. Number 1A, the seventh day of the week observed from Friday evening to Saturday evening. It's coming from the dictionary. Out of Webster, that everybody uses. Listen, it gets good. Even as a day of rest and worship by Jews and some Christians. B, Sunday observed among Christians as a day of rest and worship. 2A, 2, a time of rest. Sunday observed by Christians as a day of rest and worship. That's confusing. According to the definition above, we can see two conflicting arguments as to which day is Sabbath and what determines the Sabbath. The seventh day of the week being observed from Friday evening to Saturday evening by both Jew and Christian, yet at the same time it also states Sunday observance as the Sabbath. And can this be correct?
No.
Well, what we ought to determine first is the root of the word Sabbath in its original form, and then determine the numbering of the days of the week, and when a day starts, to get the fuller picture to become clear. In the account given to us in Genesis 2 on creation, we do not see the specific word Shabbat, Strong's 87676, being used. However, we do see the root word, the root from which the word is derived in chapters 2, verse 2 and 3. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and set it apart. He blessed the seventh day and set it apart, because on it he rested from all his work, which Elohim in creating had made. The Hebrew word for seventh is shevi, Strong's 87637, which simply means seventh. What seventh? The word for day in Hebrew is yom, Strong's 83117. Elohim completed his work on the seventh day and then rested on it. The Hebrew word for rested, used here in verse 3, is shavat, Strong's 876773, meaning rest. This is to desist from exertion or to desist from the normal day-to-day workings. The difference between Shabbat, Strong's 87676, and Shevi, Strong's 87637, is that Shabbat, Strong's 87676, is the intensive form coming from Shevi, Strong's 87637, which means to rest or observe. An intensive form of Shabbat, Strong's 87676, refers to specifically the Sabbath, as in the seventh day of the week. It was on this very day, the seventh day of the week, that Elohim set apart one day from the others, and very specifically, he blessed the seventh day to be a day of rest in him, a day to desist from the workings of the week and observe his day that he has set apart, in order for us to delight in him and find rest and refreshing in him together as a bride. What it does, it delights in him and finds rest and refreshing. And we've all witnessed that. It has been so refreshing on the day that he set aside, on his Shabbat. When we went from the world Shabbat to his Shabbat, it has been nothing but rest. Listen, because not only do you get to rest on the Saturday, the whole day. You got Sunday. That the world said you need a rest. How wonderful is that? Because look, before, after Sunday, man, you had to hit the ground running on Monday morning for work. It was like, oh, where did the weekend go? But now, it's like you wake up from your roller coaster sleep on a Saturday night to Sunday morning, and you're like,
oh, amen.
I don't get to do nothing again today. How wonderful. It's refreshing. It's refreshing in the army. I love it. Except when I got fish. When I had a job, it was tough. I mean, it was laid back. But sometimes you got fish on a Sunday. This has greater implications for us as we understand how the creation week itself gives us great insight in his redemptive plan. And his appointed times, and so to misunderstand or incorrectly recognize the seventh day as a clear marker for us could be detrimental to us knowing him and walking fully in him. As we can see from Scripture, Elohim blessed and set apart the seventh day, not the first, the second, or the third, etc. He blessed the seventh day and set it, the seventh day, apart from the rest. People say, well, he blessed all the days. Hmm. Well, in a sense, he did. But he blessed the seventh day. The scripture says he blessed the seventh day. That day is set apart. Not the first day, the second day, or the third day. He says he blessed the seventh day. And set that day apart from the rest. The Hebrew word that's translated as guard comes from the root word shema. Strong's H8104, which carries the meaning keep, watch, observe, perform, protect, and pay attention. And the basic idea of the root of this word is exercise great care over. To exercise great care over. We are to exercise great care over observing and keeping his Shabbat. We are to exercise great care in observing and keeping the Shabbat. As we guard his Torah and exercise great care over our need to walk upright, we will be protected against the luring lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes that the whore tries to use against her prey. When one is guarding something, being awake and alert is imperative, or else the risk of a thief or loss of possessions on high. Listen, if you are guarding it, the enemy can't come and lie to you if you're guarding it the way you should be guarding it. But if you just, if you're not guarding like you should, you're leaving room for him to come in there and do what he does. To steal it, to kill, to destroy. But if you exercising great care over it, he can't do those things. One of the biggest problems we find today among claiming Torah observant followers of Messiah is their ability to quickly compromise their diligent duty required in guarding the Sabbath. And we must take great care to not be found slipping in the slightest. Take great care and not to be found slipping in the slightest. When used in combination with other verbs, the meaning of this root verb, shamar, Strong's H8104, is do carefully or diligently, i.e. perform carefully by paying strict attention as to what must be done. As it expresses the careful attention to be paid to the obligations of a covenant, to laws, status, and etc. What is interesting and worth taking note of is the frequent use of the word shamar, Strong's H8104, in the Torah. Let's look at it. It is used 148 times in 139 verses in the Torah. Shamar, here, guard. 15 times in 15 verses in Genesis, 25 times in 24 verses in Exodus, 16 times in 16 verses in Leviticus, 19 times in 19 verses in Numbers, and 73 times in 65 verses in Deuteronomy. 75 times in 65 verses in Deuteronomy. Which Deuteronomy is just going from Genesis all the way back to everything that he said from Genesis to Numbers. It's all over again. It's like doing the Torah. They call it the second Torah of Deuteronomy. With Deuteronomy being seen and understood, the second reading of the Torah, as it was instructions given to the new generation, we can see why the greater emphasis on the use of Shamar, Strong's H8104, to the generation that was about to enter into the promised land. This teaches us how we too must place much emphasis on the guarding of the word, lest we find that we are not found worthy to enter into the reign of Messiah for a lack of knowledge and discipline in the word. Adam was commanded to guard Shema, the garden, which carried with it great responsibility and the need to be watchful and at work. And we are to guard the good deposit in the soil of our hearts as we do all that we are commanded, nurturing the very growth that the good seed of his living word produces in our lives. And our husband and head, Yeshua Messiah, washes us with his bride through his word, which we are to meditate upon day and night in order to be prosperous and successful in all we do, not turning to the right or left, but guarding to do all he has commanded, thus showing that we are a cleansed bride. It says, we are commanded nurturing the very group that the good seed of his living word produces in our lives. You know, I think Sister Connie mentioned when she was singing about how you just eat. How you eat. And that's how we should want to do his word. This is some healthy stuff. Listen, healthy stuff don't taste so good. You ever eat healthy stuff? It doesn't taste good at all. Bella works in this little healthy store thing. Man, when I tried that stuff, oh my gosh. This a Casey of old thing? That's not so good. It's good for you, but it just doesn't taste good. Why? Because you want sweet. I want some sugar. But listen, sometimes the word is not so sweet.
Come on.
Discipline is not so sweet. But it's so nourishing to the body.
Yes.
The word is so nourishing to the body. Yes, so you listen, eat this up every single day of your life. And be okay when it's a little sour in your mouth. Be okay with it. But it's good for the body. Very good for the body. You think it's good? He tells you to meditate on it day and night. Something good got to come out of it. He's telling me to meditate on this day and night. It's got to be good for me. 1 John 2:3. And by this we know that we know him. He tells us. People can say they know that they know him. People say it all the time. Pastors says it all the time in their messages. If we guard his commands, but not doing that. But not guarding his commands. But what does 1 John 2:3 says? And by this we know that we know him. You can say it all you want. Remember when I said in the beginning, you make sure that the person you're listening to is not only just saying that they're doing it, that they're guarding his commands. The Greek word that's translated as guard in the above verse is tereo, Strong's G5083, which means to attend carefully. to take guard of, to guard, to want in the state in which we, in which he is to observe and to hold fast. And this is a verb which clearly implies an action that is required rather than a passive nullification of the need to observe. It's an action that's required. Listen, he's requiring us to guard his Sabbath. This is the very first commandment to do, guard the Sabbath. Then you keep the feast days. If you're not doing the Sabbath first, and then you, we good at that. All we gotta do is look around. We just had Passover. Mm-hmm. Is it safe to say that? Can we be honest? We just had Passover. We see people that was here for Passover here this morning. But they come for Passover. But the very first thing he commanded us to do was to keep his Shabbat. Listen, we take pictures on Shabbat too. We don't just take pictures on Passover, the feast days. I mean, you can't get the picture taken. My wife is good at it. She can picture snap y'all all day long. If that's what you're coming for. To show that you was here for Passover on Facebook. I see faces not here that was here for Shabbat. I mean, for Passover, they'll come for feast days. It comes from the word Theos, which is a guard. And we know that a guard cannot guard correctly if they are not alert and watchful. Figuratively, this word, Theo, Strong's G5083, means obey, fulfill a duty, precept, law or custom, and to perform watchfully. To fulfill a duty. To guard the instructions of the one we know implies an act of obedience. To guard the instructions of the one we know implies an act of obedience to what we hear him speak and instruct to be diligent, to be watchful over his clear words. Let us see the verses that follow. 1 John 2:4-7. The one who says, I know him, and does not guard his commands, is a liar. Amen. This is his words. This is Jehovah's words. In the New Testament, and does not guard his commands, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoever guards his word, truly the love of Elohim has been perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Beloved, I write no fresh command to you.
That's right.
I'm not writing nothing new. It's from the very beginning. The same word that we said, the same word, yes, he's the same Elohim yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
He didn't change. It's the same word, yesterday, today, and forever. I write no fresh command to you, but an old command, which you have had from the beginning. You had this from the beginning. The old command is the word which you heard from the beginning. It's the word you heard from the very beginning. To put it very plainly, those who disregard the need to keep the true Sabbath, which is not Sunday, and disregard the command to keep the true appointed times, feasts of Yehovah, as outlined in Leviticus 23, and disregard the need to eat according to the proper dietary instructions contained in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, as well as disregard to the need to guard all the clear instructions for set-apart living, as clearly given in the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, the Tanakh, are not known by Elohim and are simply the lawless ones who shall be rejected and sent away. Oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Who shall be rejected and sent away. Matthew 7, 21, 23. This is Yeshua words. Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of heavens, but he who is doing the desire of my Father in the heavens. He who is doing the desire. And what is his desire? He tells what his desire was in Leviticus. To follow my command, to keep my command. That is my desire. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done mighty works in your name? And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. The words of Yeshua. Who says, what? My words are not my words. My words are the Father's. In 1 John, quoted above, Yohanan makes it clear that this was not a fresh command that he was writing, but rather an old command that was from the beginning. To be known by Yehovah and to be sure that we know him is made confidentially clear when we guard to do all he commands us. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Listen, he knows. We can fool each other, but we can't fool him, and we can't fool our good shepherd. We can fool people, but you know him when you go out and do all his commands. So many today assume that they are known, that they too are known by Yehovah. Yet they do not know him, simply because they do not guard his commands. What is also worthy of taking note of is the words in the Greek that are deemed to be antonyms of Pereo, Strong's G5083. And an antonym is a word of opposite meaning. And the Greek words that carry the opposite meaning to Tereo, Strong's G5083 are, number one, Elio Tereo, Strong's G1659. I should have said this for Bartel. Which means to make free, to exempt, which comes from the word Elio Tereo, Strong's G1658. Which means not a slave and not under.
Amen.
Number two, apoleos.
Amen.
Strong's G525, which means to remove or release, which comes from two words, apo. Strong's G575, which is a preposition that carries the meaning from, away from, or against. I'm gonna stop at that. Away from or against. Aleso, Strong's G236, which means to change or alter. Just a couple more slides. Number three, Luo, Strong's G3089, which means to loose, to release, to dissolve, to annul, to do away with, break, or put an end to. See the opposite? While I must make it clear that these three words are not always used in a negative sense, what I do want to point out here is that as antonyms for the word Pereo, Strong's G5083, which clearly implies that we hold fast to and take careful care of the commands of Elohim, we can see how mainstream tradition and dogmas of man have done the exact opposite. by teaching a complete removal of the need to guard the command and doing away with or putting an end to what Scripture clearly commands us not to do. Scripture clearly commands us not to do away with. It has not been annulled. Our husband and head, Yeshua Messiah, washes us, his bride, through his word, which we are to meditate upon day and night in order to be prosperous and successful in all we do, not turning to the right or left, but guarding to do all he has commanded, thus showing that we are a cleansed bride. And I'll stop right here.
Amen.
That we are carefully guarding, observing, to do all that he commands us to do. Not done away with, not with mainstream churches or teaching. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He's telling me he changes not. We change it. Man, somehow I think we know when's the best day for us to rest. Amen. He's good to us. I hope you enjoy. Hope you're enjoying, because we got Wednesday coming to do some more of this, of teaching us how what it takes to live a set apart life. And I want to do my best, my all, with everything that is in me, to make sure I'm doing everything that I need to do to live a set apart life. To honor my mother and father, meaning I'm talking about him and his Torah. Because I want a prosperous life. I want to live long.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't want my life to be shortened because of my ignorance. I don't want that. And I don't want that for my kids. So I need to make sure that I want for myself, but for them also. I need to be training them up and teaching them in a way that they'll depart from it. It's my responsibility as a parent. It's our responsibility as a parent to do those things.